March 2024 edition of Agribusiness News, brought to you by the Farm Advisory Service. My name is Christine Beaton. Agribusiness News helps you to scan your horizon, prepare for industry changes, and keeps you abreast of the latest research and policy updates. Along with our regular monthly updates on policy briefs, arable beef, sheep, and milk, in this edition, we are also bringing you sector overviews on forestry and how climate change affects Scottish farms. We will also be bringing you news on optimising grassland management and fertiliser usage and costs.
Hello, my name is Anna Sellers and I am the editor of this month's edition. First up, we have this month's news. Farmers across the EU and more recently in Wales have been protesting against new policies for increased environmental compliance and the impact of these on farm businesses and food production. In Europe, a key concern is also rising input prices, but low and stagnant farm income, as well as increased burden for climate and biodiversity measures. In Wales, the new sustainable farming incentive will require 10% of farms to be planted for woodland and an additional 10% set aside for biodiversity, with impacts estimated to reduce both the national flock and agricultural employment as a result. In Scotland, the Agriculture and Rural Communities Bill is in stage one of consultation, with details of future support and compliance yet to be outlined. However, the National Good Food Nation Plan has recently been published, which is now open for public consultation until the 22nd of April. This consultation offers an opportunity to showcase explicitly how farming can help to achieve wider societal objectives, such as producing local and good quality food and enabling the public to engage with and understand where and how their food is produced. Details on how to respond to the consultation and joining a series of upcoming in-person and virtual engagement events can be found in the show notes. Also, at the end of January, the NFUS completed the largest ever shelf watch survey across supermarkets in Scotland to understand the availability of Scottish produce, as well as labelling and price. Overall, Aldi had the highest proportion of Scottish produce at 48.7% and Sainsbury's the lowest at 7.6%. Since NFUS's results were published, Sainsbury's has announced the new Best of British section in their online shopping platform.
Moving on to this month's policy briefs, starting with the Agri-Environment Climate Scheme, from the 1st of January 2026, under the Water Environment Controlled Activities Scotland Amendment Regulations 2021, all businesses producing slurry from housed livestock must have sufficient slurry storage capacity equivalent to 26 weeks for housed pigs and or 22 weeks for housed cattle. However, for businesses seeking support funding under the 2024 round of the Agri-Environment Scheme, EECS, it is important to note the following aspects. 1. This is the last year that funding will be available for slurry storage. 2. EECS funding regulations require businesses to provide 26 weeks storage for cattle slurry to ensure resilience against increasing rainfall due to climate change. 3. Support funding is not available to convert from a straw-based to a slurry-based housing system. 4. Support funding is only available for the current number of eligible livestock in the holding, not for any future expansion plans. 5. Grant aid is not available for slatted tanks. 6. This EECS grant funding for slurry storage is not available to businesses located in an NVZ. And 7. The deadline for applications for support funding for slurry storage is Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. The implementation of the 19th of April application deadline is linked to seeking to ensure that all EECS grant-aided slurry projects will be completed before the Water Environment Controlled Activities Scotland Amendment Regulations 2021 transition period ends on the 1st of January 2026. Further eligibility and application requirements are available on the Rural Payments website. We have shared the link in the show notes. The deadline for standalone irrigation lagoon applications, lagoon and underground drainage only, is Friday, the 19th of April 2024. Successful applicants will receive contracts from May 2024 onwards. Eligible projects will be paid per cubic metre, £2.94 per cubic metre without a proprietary liner, or £8.20 per cubic metre with a proprietary liner, with a maximum payment per business of £40,000. As part of the Scottish Government's plan to introduce a minimum energy efficiency standard for properties in the private rented sector the government published a consultation document entitled Delivering Net Zero for Scotland's Buildings, which sets out new proposals to improve the energy efficiency of all properties in Scotland, both in homes and non-domestic buildings. The two key proposals to note are that at the end of 2028, private landlords will need to have met the minimum energy efficiency standard, or they will not be allowed to relet the property if the existing tenant leaves. If purchasing a property, the buyer must replace any polluting heating system, gas or oil-based, within a specified amount of time following completion of the sale. The proposal in the consultation is within 2 to 5 years. The government is keen to hear how these proposals could impact on rural areas and communities, especially where recent storms have severely impacted on electricity supplies. The deadline for responses is Friday, the 8th of March, 2024. Details of the consultation and the Delivering Net Zero for Scotland's Buildings website can be found in the show notes. Legislation which would give councils the power to introduce a visitor levy to raise funding for local tourism facilities and services has passed its first vote in Parliament. Of the 27 EU member states, 21 currently have a visitor levy scheme. If the bill is passed, the Visitor Levy Scotland Bill would enable councils to levy a percentage of the overnight accommodation cost, with the percentage rate being set by local councils. The levy would be collected by the accommodation providers and remitted to the relevant local authority. It would apply to almost all types of overnight accommodation, including hotels, self-catering accommodation and campsites. All money raised would be reinvested in facilities and services that are substantially used by visitors, benefiting tourists and local economies. A key date to note, under EECS, the deadline for slurry store and standalone water use efficiency irrigation lagoon grant applications is the 19th of April 2024. Moving on to arable, domestic wheat futures followed EU and US wheat markets up at the end of February as low prices seem to have led to a slight uptick in global demand. UK feed wheat futures May 24 closed February out at £165, up from £160 2 weeks prior. November 24 contract gained £3.80 per tonne over the same period, ending February at £182.30 per tonne. In the meantime, grain exports from the Black Sea continue to flow, and the war has effectively become part of the political background pressure for markets. The hostilities both in Eastern Europe and the Middle East are hindering sea trade too. More recently, commercial ships on the Red Sea have been attacked by Yemen-based Houthi rebels who claim their actions are in response to Israel's counterattacks in Gaza after Hamas attacked Israel on October the 7th. As a result, several of the world's largest shipping firms, including Maersk, Hapag-Lloyd and the Mediterranean Shipping Company, have suspended shipping throughout the Suez Canal, a passageway that connects the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. Some carriers are diverting their shipments to Europe and the United States via the Cape of Good Hope, adding weeks to the journey and increasing costs. It is not surprising, therefore, that the IGC Grains and Oilseeds Freight Index was up 19% year-on-year in December, and no doubt costs will have been passed on to the processor and the consumer. Overall, wheat prices in Europe have been capped both by the higher global maize supplies expected out of South America, notably Argentina and Brazil, and slow EU wheat export demand, coupled with rising in-house inventories. Maize into the UK is consequently anticipated to increase by 9% this coming season. With the UK wheat supply and demand balance 31% tighter this year than last year, wheat exports are expected to be at a minimum level for 23-24. Exports are currently forecast down from last season by 83%, and the UK is expected to be a net importer this season. And next, aligning with AHDB's early indications of 2024, wheat harvest of between 12 to 13 million tonnes. Currently, fresh farm supplies are just about accounting for the slow consumption offtake and the limited buying activity. For feed barley, export pricing is uncompetitive, and exports are currently forecast for this season down 38% from last season. With a move from winter to spring cropping for harvest 2024 expected, the size of the barley crop remains a key watch point for new season export values. milling oat prices are achieving highs not seen since June 2022, with the AHDB quoting £252 per tonne January 24 ex-farm, with substantial premiums over feed quality exceeding £70 a tonne in early 2024. Oat exports this season have hit a stronger pace than expected, especially considering the tighter oat supply and the demand balance year on year. This season, UK oat exports are in line with the previous five-year average. Looking ahead, oat supply is expected to see a boost for harvest 2024 due to a larger intended planted area. This could see strong exports continue into 2024-25, providing the UK stays price competitive to the continent. Global factors mean oilseed rape prices have fallen sharply. As of early February 2024, domestic oilseed rape spot delivery prices were over £200 a tonne lower than the peak in 2022. The lower prices combined with the 2023 harvest not delivering means a drop in the oilseed rape area for the 2024 harvest is anticipated. The 20% price drop seen over the last 12 months is partly due to cheaper Ukrainian oilseed rape coming into the European market. Further to that, the overall bearish sentiment of the soybean market has weighed on prices as record South American soybean crops are starting to come onto the market. The prime cattle trade has remained firm since Christmas, largely due to tightening supplies of cattle. The volume of cows culled inevitably means there are not the calves available, coupled with a trend to finish cattle quicker and at a younger age, means that there are and will be fewer cattle in the system now and going forward. In theory, availability for slaughter in Scotland should be seasonally high in early 2024 as the spring calf crop from 2022 reaches peak slaughter age. However, reports suggest going forward that processors could soon be competing for cattle like never before. In the meantime, it appears processors are mindful of increasing prices, with prime cattle prices remaining steady in February. For the week ending February 17th, R4L prices were sitting at 509 pence per kilo dead weight, plus 5.7% on the year. Although there is much talk about lack of cattle and the demand for beef is also very strong. Recent reports from AHDB show good demand for red meat. Markets selling live finished cattle have seen increased demand ringside and, in some areas, have revitalised how cattle are sold, highlighting how important the auction market system is. Several Scottish markets have reported prime sales are attracting an increasing number of buyers from the south of the border due to the shortage of finished cattle. There has been no let-up in the store cattle trade, with strong demand continuing. Heavy forward stores are still very much in demand due to their short turnaround time on the finishing farms. However, there are less of these sorts available, so finishers are now buying lighter stores to maintain numbers and refill sheds, as reports suggest that stores coming forward are tightening in numbers. A fall in the barley price has also encouraged people to buy store cattle. Going forward, it is unlikely that prices will fall back when finishers need to keep their numbers up. Although silage stocks for most are plentiful, the wet summer of 2023 is now affecting straw availability, with scarcity increasing prices significantly. It looks as though straw prices are now experiencing input inflation. Thankfully for businesses requiring large amounts of straw did not come in 2022 when other inputs were inflating greatly. Prices are increasing quickly and if this continues will result in the highest bedding cost realised for several years. There is real optimism and keenness for breeding stock with the recent 2 weeks of bull sales in Stirling, seeing commercial buyers keen to invest in top quality bulls which lead to significant increases in breed sale averages and clearance rates. Commercial buyers are now paying five-figure sums for bulls. The decline in suckle cow numbers didn't affect trade for maternal breeds, which were in demand with the Simmental breed achieving the sales top price and a sale average of £7,498, while Lings achieved 100% clearance average of £10,458. If you're enjoying agribusiness news, why not try one of our other farm advisory podcasts? If livestock is your interest, why not have a listen to Stock Talk, which releases monthly livestock episodes? The most recent episode discusses performance in the beef industry with Veterinary Investigation Officer Colin Mason and SEC consultant and economist Sasha Grierson. They discuss improving productivity and efficiency, as well as talking about grant support to aid improvements. Moving on to sheep. Recent figures from HMRC have shown that in 2023, red meat exports to the European Union were comparable in value compared to 2022, an increase of 2%, although the volume was 12% lower than in the previous year. The red meat which aided this value was sheep meat, where an increase of 23% of value and volume was exported to the high-value market in France. Exports to Germany also showed increases in value and volume of 15% and 12% respectively. Non-EU markets showed an increase in volume of 10%. However, the value decreased by 15%. In contrast to the sheep meat, beef exports dropped by 15% in volume and 9% in value, largely due to strong domestic demand in the UK. The hog trade is currently flying, with prices rocketing due to an estimated 430,000 fewer lambs, 10%, being carried over from the 2023 crop compared to the previous year. Combined with the timing of both Ramadan and Easter in March and the extra demand this brings, the timing of religious festivals is set for us to see record prices for sheep meat into March and will enable the hog trade to finish on a high. As new season lamb comes forward, this may change, with a predicted high lamb crop of 16.4 million head, up 2% on the year. However, many early lamb producers in the south have been hit with a midge-related health problem, Schmallenberg and blue tongue, which has led to high losses of lambs due to high barren rates, abortions, low milk yields and deformities. This will affect the predicted lamb numbers and the speed that lambs come to the market, resulting in a slow start for the new season lamb in terms of volume. Europe is set to remain our largest exporter. Their national flock is decreasing, and the effects of the midge-related health issues, Schmallenberg and blue tongue, could have a large impact on the productivity of our national flock. While consumption of lamb remains stable, there is an opportunity for the UK product to grow in this market. We will have competition with cheaper global products from Australia and New Zealand. However, we have seen how recent conflict in the Middle East can increase shipping costs and add around 10 days for the rerouting, which disrupts trade, making the cheaper product less attractive. Australia's final 2023 slaughter statistics are in, where the record quantity has been recorded at just under 25 million head, a staggering rise of 16.38% in the year. This increased production is definitely a huge risk as we go into Ramadan, Easter and the next crop of lambs, as the free trade quota has grown to the UK. At the same time, our consumption of lamb is decreasing. The economic outlook for 2024 looks more positive, with inflation set to decrease. However, the need for quick, easy and cheap family meals is set to grow, which will no doubt drive the retailer to the cheapest foreign product rather than our homegrown, natural, low-carbon, high-welfare, sustainable lamb. This makes it more important than ever to shout about the credentials of choosing and eating homegrown protein sources. Now let's move on to the sector focus on forestry. On Tuesday, the 5th of December 2023, Scottish Forestry implemented a series of changes and enhancements to the Forestry Grant Scheme, which were designed to aid delivery of woodland creation and work to restore, regenerate Scotland's rainforest and Caledonian pinewoods. Key changes included: 1. All new Forestry Grant Scheme deer fencing in Scotland now qualifies for high cost grant, £9.90 per metre, an uplift of £2.30 per metre in some areas. Number 2. An extension of the Central Scotland Green Network Fringe Area Contribution to cover all of Scotland, providing an extra £750 per hectare for new woodland up to 40 hectares. 3. Doubling of the Natural Regeneration Grant for expansion of native woodlands to £600 per hectare. 4. Increased grant for manual or mechanical bracken control, now £720 per hectare. 5. Improved support for deer management and rhododendron control within priority areas. And 6. improved access for small or farm woodland creation grants. Further details can be found within Scottish Forestry's briefing note number 45, December 2023, where a link can be found in the show notes. Whilst these improvements are positive news for new forestry grant scheme applicants in eligible areas, Scottish Forestry has been severely impacted by the draft Scottish Government Budget Bill of the 19th of December 2023, one of the most challenging budgets ever received in Scotland. As a result of a 41% cut in budget for new woodland creation funding for 2024-25, Scottish Forestry are having to optimise the current 2023-24 claim year and make difficult decisions affecting the 24-25 claim year to maximise woodland creation within a heavily constrained budget. Any party working with a current contract or with a future application stroke contract in the pipeline is strongly advised to review Scottish Forestry's briefing note number 46, February 2024, to ensure that their project aligns with the newly released claim guidance and with budget availability for the year ahead. Please find a link in the show notes. The most recent timber price indices from Forestry Research were released in November 2023, publishing averages based on timber sales figures from Forestry England, Forestry and Land Scotland, and Natural Resources Wales up to the 30th of September 2023. Please find details in the show notes. The results show a 28% fall in real terms in comparison to the previous year, with average price for conifer standing sales of £30.33 per cubic metre over bark standing in nominal terms compared to the £38.81 the previous year. Whilst these are averages taken from a whole of Great Britain dataset only showing public sector timber sales and current to September 2023, they do reflect today's challenging markets, which are facing a contraction in demand for construction timber due to a slowing of the house building sector, higher interest rates, and continued economic uncertainty, with all markets acting more cautiously as a result. The increase in market caution has also hit land sales. Crucially for the rural sector, the price of land suitable for commercial forestry planting has fallen dramatically by 22% in Scotland over the last year, falling to an average market price of £9,900 per hectare. In direct contrast, prices for land suitable for commercial forestry in both England and Wales have increased within the same period by 42%, rising to £16,600 per hectare and £13,400 per hectare, respectively. Let's move on to milk. The latest milk production data from HDB shows that GB milk output for January was 1,023 million litres, provisional, just 0.2% more than December's volume. Daily deliveries were 33.41 million litres for the week ending the 17th of February, 0.4% above the previous week, and 1.1% less than the same week in 2023. UK production data for January was 1,238 million litres, 1% more than the previous month, but 0.6% less than January 2023. The DEFRA average UK milk price for January 24 was 37.68 pence per litre, down 0.24 pence per litre from December, and 24% lower than in January 2023. The most up-to-date milk prices from the main Scottish milk buyers available at the time of writing are as follows. Please note that the following prices are in pence per litre. First Milk Manufacturing, 38. Müller, Müller Direct, Scotland, 36.5. Graham's, 35. Arla Farmers Manufacturing, 40.06. Lactalis, Fresh Milk Company, 35. The latest wholesale dairy commodity prices for the week beginning the 22nd of January to the 12th of February showed little change from the previous month, with only butter returning a positive price movement, plus 2%, due to an increased EU demand. Trade was reported as relatively quiet as buyers waited to see what the approach spring flush brings. As a result, the market indicator, AMPE, was up just 0.21 pence per litre, on the back of the higher butter price, and the MCVE decreased by 0.86 pence per litre. The latest GDT auction for the 20th of February returned a sixth consecutive rise in the average price across all products sold, up 0.5% to $3,664 per tonne. This is by far the smallest price rise seen over the last six auctions. Anhydrous milk fat showed the biggest change, up 8.6%, while mozzarella was also up by 5.3%. Cheddar showed the biggest decline, down 7.6% to $4,143 per tonne. The Anderson Centre has recently completed its 2024 report on the characteristics of top performing dairy farms for AHDB. Some of the key attributes associated with the most profitable dairy businesses were: 1. Being ruthless with cost control while minimising any impact on milk output or quality. 2. Attention to detail by closely monitoring key performance indicators and making changes when performance drops. 3. Knowing the most efficient stock rate for your farm and looking to maximise output from each productive hectare. 4. Focusing on dairy. Better performing farms tend to have less enterprises, such as other livestock, on the farm. And 5. Have goals, both financial and non-financial, and discuss with key partners, family members and staff to set budgets and draw up business plans. Appendix 1, 50 Ways to be Outstanding, is worth a read and gives practical suggestions on areas to improve and challenge current performance. A link to the full report can be accessed in the show notes. Data released by the Scottish Dairy Cattle Association in January this year showed that the number of Scottish herds now stands at 794, a net loss of 10 over the past 12 months. Despite this, the number of dairy cows has increased by 2,086 to 180,648, and the average herd size now stands at 227. Ayrshire and Dumfriesshire saw a net loss of 6 and 4 herds respectively. Aberdeenshire and Wigtonshire saw a net gain of 3 herds. Now let's move on to climate change and Scottish agriculture. Oscar Wilde famously quipped that Britain has the best climate but the worst weather. We are indeed fortunate to enjoy a temperate mild climate given our great distance from the equator. Global warming is, however, predicted to change our climate with knock-on implications for our weather. For agriculture, an industry where production is so dependent on the weather, what are the anticipated consequences? UK climate scientists have modelled how the British climate might respond to four different levels of warming up to 2100. The modelling was granular, thereby allowing predictions at a local scale within Scotland. The scientists concluded that winters are likely to become warmer and wetter, especially across north-western Scotland, summers hotter and drier, though with summer storms of greater intensity, and sea levels to rise. Essentially, a continuation of the climate change experienced over the last few decades. On the downside, warmer weather is likely to expose crops and livestock to more pests and diseases. For instance, the Barber poleworm and blue-tongue virus could reach Scottish sheep flocks. Equally, the virus-free health advantage held by Scottish seed potato producers might be threatened. And intensive rainfall and flooding, as experienced in eastern Scotland last autumn, will probably become more common. But climatic change may also benefit Scottish agriculture. Carbon dioxide drives plant growth, so higher concentrations in the atmosphere, plus a warmer, longer growing season, could raise yields of current crops, including pasture, and expand the range of crops grown. A recent climate change report notes that Scottish growing conditions may become more like Denmark and northern Germany, boosting the oat acreage and making the likes of crop seed and apple production possible. In many other parts of the world, the impact of climate change will be far more negative. Scientists at Cornell University estimate that climate change since 1971 has reduced agricultural production growth by about a fifth. Farmers in the tropics will be especially hit by further global warming, as many countries in this region are already hot. Though further from the equator, Brazilian soybean production is also expected to suffer, which has obvious knock-on effects for livestock producers here. Agricultural production across southern Europe also looks threatened. Analysis by the European Environmental Agency concludes that land abandonment and desertification could markedly impact Mediterranean countries. Yet the EEA also judges that growing conditions may well improve across Northern Europe. Research and experience elsewhere also points to higher latitude countries benefiting. Soya and maize crops are now increasingly grown on the Canadian prairies. Agribusiness companies are investing in such areas, calculating how global food production could be hit by falling production in lower latitude regions due to global warming. More concerning is the growing interest in opening up the high latitudes of the Northern Hemisphere to farming. A 2018 study calculates that a sizeable chunk of Sweden and Finland's forested lands could be converted to agricultural production. While the Scandinavians might pass on this opportunity for environmental reasons, the Russians, with their vast area of Siberian tundra, might be less hesitant. Indeed, the Russian government is already leasing land in its far eastern territories to the Chinese, Japanese and South Korean investors for growing crops. Fancy farming in Alaska? If your conclusion from the above analysis is that a little bit of climate change, on balance, favours Scottish agriculture, be warned. Recently published Dutch research suggested something far more dangerous could hit the climate in northwestern Europe with catastrophic implications for our agricultural industry. A major reason that Scotland enjoys a mild climate despite being a long way from the equator is the Atlantic Conveyor, an ocean current that shifts warm water from the tropics to the Northern Atlantic. Modelling suggests that this critical current could abruptly stop, and soon, resulting in a quick and big cooling of temperatures across Northern Europe. The Dutch researchers have calculated that this outcome is far more likely than previously judged, and such an event has occurred in the past. So for any Scottish farmers still questioning the sense of improving their carbon footprint, Google farming in Northern Alaska. Let's move on to grassland management. Many are weighing up their grassland management plans at this time of year, and truth be told, it is nigh on impossible with so many variables. Traditionally, farmers might rely on previous year's practices or intuition. However, more precise, data-driven methods like feed budgeting offer a clearer path forward. Feed budgeting can help when considering the application of nitrogen fertiliser, for instance. The timing of fertiliser application is critical and depends on soil temperatures reaching above 5 degrees Celsius for 5 consecutive days and rising. Predicting the weather's impact on grass growth and the subsequent need for fertiliser is challenging. Feed budgeting aids in estimating future grass requirements for livestock and the anticipated grass growth, ensuring decisions are made with a fuller understanding of the needs versus supply. Consider a farmer planning to fertilise early April in anticipation of cattle grazing from April 15th. By applying 100 units per acre of 2010-10 compound fertiliser, research suggests an expected increase of 250 kilos of grass dry matter per hectare. This is based on the conversion of 1 kilogram of nitrogen to 10 kilograms of grass dry matter. However, the effectiveness of this application hinges on three critical aspects: the current grass availability, the future grass availability, and the herd's grass demand at turnout. Simple feed budgeting principles are helpful. For instance, estimates of animal requirements show that 2,500 cows per hectare in late pregnancy demand 22.8 kilos of grass dry matter per day, whereas 70 kilo ewes per hectare require 17 kilos of dry matter. Assessing grass supply involves measuring grass cover across the farm to calculate an average covering in kilos of dry matter per hectare, which, when tracked over time, aids in predicting future supply. Utilising tools like Farmax software within our GrazeUp service, farmers can utilise grass measurements alongside grass growth predictions and align this with herd demand. This approach not only potentially saves cost, but also optimises pasture quality throughout the season. Predicting future grass supply can be complex without the aid of software. For example, with no animals currently grazing, the turnout area and an average cover of 1,600 kilos dry matter per hectare, growth rates between 3 to 5 kilos dry matter per hectare daily are expected in March. Over 30 days, this could increase the farm's average cover to between 1,690 and 1,750 kilos of dry matter per hectare. Considering a minimum grazing height of 4 centimetres or 1500 kilos of dry matter per hectare, this provides the herd with an 8 to 11 day potential supply, even if April sees no grass growth. How effectively you manage that supply directly influences its duration. Implementing rotational grazing can maximise its potential, while set stocking may deplete it more rapidly. By making more informed decisions, farmers can enhance productivity, optimise resource use, and improve the sustainability of their operations. Finally, we move on to fertilisers. It is a welcome relief that fertiliser prices have stabilised, and the outlook for the coming season looks to be more settled. However, given the roller coaster in prices we have seen over the last 2 years, it would be prudent to be prepared for future fluctuations. UK agriculture is now more reliant on imports than ever before, with ammonium nitrate production at CF Fertilisers' English sites now being imported ammonia. Added to the pressure on imports is the reduction in available product as merchants choose to avoid Russian nitrogen. Bulk delivery of fertiliser products into UK blenders takes approximately 4 weeks from source, so supplies in the UK are still tight. Whilst the price has stabilised, suppliers are warning to allow at least 2 weeks for delivery this spring. We all know the most expensive fertiliser is the one that isn't on farm when you need it. For current pricing, market prices for full loads delivered are quoted as follows. Urea, £360 to £365 per tonne. Imported ammonium nitrate, £345 to £350. Nitram, £330 to £335 for an April delivery. MOP, £380 to £390. DSP, £430 to £435. And DAP, £570 to £575. New season prices are expected in June, with nitrogen prices expected to remain fluid. MOP currently being imported from Germany and TSP from Morocco appear to be more settled. The eye-watering costs of 2022 and 2023 prompted or forced many farmers into thinking differently and reducing their fertiliser use. It is anticipated that fertiliser use in 2023 was down 20%, a marked reduction from the trend seen in the preceding 10 years. Lower fertiliser use is good for the pocket and good for the environment, but we must consider how we make reduced use sustainable for our businesses in the long term. Sustainable reductions in fertiliser can be achieved through considering the following management practices. 1. Maintaining an appropriate soil pH, phosphate and potash levels for optimum availability of nutrients. 2. Ensuring good soil structure, encouraging healthy roots and uptake of nutrients. 3. Inclusion of legumes in rotations and grass swards. 4. Applying nitrogen in suitable conditions when crop response will be greatest. 5. Preparing feed budgets and measuring yields to match supply with demand of forage. 6. Using yield information to assess response to nitrogen applications and establish an optimum rate. 7. Maintaining equipment and using technology to reduce waste and emissions. 8. Making better use of organic manures and other available nutrients through analysis and preparation of an annual nutrient management plan. 9. Including sulphur in grades to optimise nitrogen uptake. And finally, 10. Targeting applications to the crops and grasses which will provide the greatest response. There will still be plenty of fertiliser orders to go in for this spring, especially for grassland, and where the outcome of winter sown crops is still to be determined. But when considering what to buy and when to buy, please remember to allow at least 2 weeks for delivery and longer as order volumes increase. And ensure that you've submitted your photo identification to enable your order to be released after changes to the Control of Poisons and Explosive Precursors Regulations 2023 were imposed in October 2023. Consider your recent fertiliser use, and if it is sustainable, cheap nitrogen can be tempting, but this can mask some underlying issues. Thanks very much for listening to this audio edition of the March 2024 Agribusiness News. Remember to like Agribusiness News to get notified of future episodes of this monthly podcast. This edition was edited by Anna Sellers and included articles written by Christine Beaton, Mark Bowser-Gibbs, Sarah Balfour, Kirsten Williams, Ben Law, Lorna McPherson, Kev Bevan, Poppy Frater, and Lorna Galloway. Presented by myself, Christine Beaton, and produced by Alistair Trail, with executive producer Kerry Hammond. This podcast is part of the Scottish Farm Advisory Service and produced in association with the Scottish Government.